Saturday, July 18th. John left early, after, I gather, a lot of talk, but no very definite conclusions. The conclusion I hope for is for him to take active charge of Lyndon's campaign. And then, at 10 o'clock, there was a press conference in the front yard of the ranch. Seats lined up, all of the White House press that accompanied us, including the local press, Covert and Deedle were there. Lyndon, from a podium on the front porch, made a statement that dwelt mostly on the economy of their nation. 40 months free from recession and with rising income and gross national product. Rather too many statistics, I thought, and too fast. I had James stationed under the big live oak next to the front entrance with a huge coffee pot and lots of iced soft drinks and, best of all, some homemade bread fresh out of the oven and buttered was brought out by Gertrude just as the press conference was about to break up. Questions actually were not too numerous, only about 6, I think, before one of them rose, I think it was Merriman Smith, and said, "Thank you, Mr. President." The photographers persuaded Lyndon to get on a horse, and Linda Burt also. She, dear child, was in a pretty green linen dress, and so she obligingly got on side saddle. And I believe the horses and the homemade bread made more news than the statistics of the press conference. Philip Carter, Hodding Carter's son, who is now with Newsweek, was there, very handsome and fine-looking young man. I didn't see any of the women who usually accompany me, except I believe I glimpsed Muriel Dobbins. The one best question and answer in the press conference was about the disturbances in big eastern cities, and did Lyndon think he was going to send in federal forces to control them? He said he had great faith in local and state governments and their right and responsibility to control them. We'd gathered there were a lot of people in this country who felt the same way, that, as we knew, we had no national police force, one of the few countries who don't. But if called on by the states, or when they were unable to handle rioting, the federal government would help to the best of its ability. It was a good reply for the followers of Goldwater, who exalt states' rights so highly and yet want rioting put down by immediate military means. As soon as the press left, like children out of school, we raced for the chopper, Lyndon and I and the Valentes, Jesse, Simone, who was at the ranch for the first time, Marie and Vicky. We stopped off at A.W.'s ranch, and he got aboard, and we went to the Haywood, where we had a wonderful day of boat riding in the hot, hot sun. We'd brought homemade bread and some wonderful peaches, and A.W. had picked up some delicious barbecue. I'd like to eat it about 4 meals in a row. I lay on top and got 2 shades darker tan. I read The Rich Countries and the Poor Countries, An Accident by Elizabeth Janeway. We went to the cove where the Coca-Cola ranch is, and the Secret Service boats stopped at the entrance to it in the hope of politely heading off any sightseers who were on our trail, our newsmen, in the interest of water safety. Vicky skied up and down as an entertainment for Lyndon and most of the passengers, and I slipped into the warm, embracing water and swam all the way across the cove. Infinitely more pleasant than swimming in a pool because it's more adventurous. You can lie on your back and rest and look up at the sky and the clouds and the gliding buzzards and an occasional flapping waterfowl, and every now and then feel tingling afraid lest the weed that has just brushed you might be a fish. It never is, really. A good enough swim 2 or 3 city blocks to tire me out. Then in the middle of the hot afternoon, we went back to the Haywood, stretched out on the back bed, and Lyndon slept. What a marvelous ability to go to sleep within moments after your head hits the pillow. And I read. About twilight, Lyndon, Jesse, A.W. and I went riding in A.W.'s boat. We turned into a narrow, winding slough just the other side of the ferry landing, where live oaks line the bank. Sometimes granite boulders come down to the water's edge. Mockingbirds, redbirds, and red-winged blackbirds flew inquisitively past as we rocked gently on the gray-green water, and the sky changed momently from blue to great billowy clouds that were pink-tinged and then pearly, and then dark set in. Finally, we went back to the boathouse. The Melvin Winters had come over, and Mary Allen. We had dinner on the patio Delicious thin steaks and fresh roasting ears from our own garden at the ranch, and little pear-shaped tomatoes, also ours. I slipped away from dinner in time to go inside and watch Gunsmoke. And then we were back at the ranch for an early bedtime. Linda Bird had gone into Austin to see Pam Ward and Carolyn, still a little angry and chagrin and hurt at me, or maybe just at fate, because she'd had a big date with Dave, and instead of catching a commercial flight back, I'd gotten sidetracked at the ranch and stuck there, apparently, until Sunday night when we returned.